The Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
Welcome to Desert Island Discs. I'm Flavia Tumusiime Kabura, and every Sunday we host somebody who's ready to share a story, because we say it's talking success, but you know, success looks different for all of us, and we've been inspired Sunday in, Sunday out. If you missed any of the past shows, we're on podcasts now. Yes, you can catch up, and that's anywhere you get podcasts. Just look for Capital FM Uganda and you'll find us. This Sunday, I have, I'm not quite sure how to, should I say lawyer, but you would know, as you know him as the national, you're the treasurer for the National Unity Platform,
yes.
NUP, as yes, we yes. call it, yes. Benjamin, it's Katana.
Yes.
Is it?
Katana.
Katana.
Yes.
Okay. How are you, Benjamin?
I'm very well, thank you.
In the Bible, Benjamin was a very, very important person. It was in Benjamin, a last born. I'm
yes,
not mistaken.
He was just like I am.
Ah. There you go. You see? But how are you?
I'm very well.
You're
thank
well?
You. And glad to be part of this program
yeah.
that I've listened to.
You said
to
you listen.
For so many years.
Wow.
From my teenager years. I
wow. Say. Now we get to throw you away at
yeah,
an
sure.
island. Let's start your story. Last born. Anywhere in your childhood. Take us there. I don't know where that starts. And let's start your story.
Well, I was born close to 40 years ago.
Okay.
In a little village called Buyanja. Buyanja is in the pre-colonial kingdom of Igara, now Bushenyi district.
Yes.
And unlike many people who are born in hospital, I was born at home.
Don't tell me in a plantation, you know, if some post.
Yes, I was born at home. I'm a last born.
Last born, yeah.
In
of how many?
What was a very big family.
Oh, okay. We don't count children.
Yes, we don't.
Okay.
Yeah, but we are now left few. It was a very mixed fortunes as a child. Mm. I was orphaned at a very young age. Maybe 2 years. That's when I lost my father. I have no memory of my father.
Two, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
except from the pictures and stories,
and the stories
from other people.
Mm.
So I was raised by a widowed mother in a rural setting, largely unemployed. But I received a lot of love from my mother, from my then many siblings.
Because at this point, you're
and
the youngest.
The entire community.
Yeah.
I think I must have been an adorable kid, but
okay.
now life has had its effects on me. I may not look
at the wrinkles have popped up.
Yes.
And how was it growing up? I mean, you're saying I received love.
Yes.
But, you know, the environment, just growing up, the memories. I mean,
yeah.
Was it good? Was it mostly fun?
Yeah, I think the initial years was largely fun.
Okay.
Doing what all young kids in the villages do.
Right.
Run after cows, run to school, and things like that. But then, of course, there were very unfortunate developments as I was growing up. Lost many of my siblings. It was very traumatizing. But by and large, I enjoyed the love and adoration that came from my family and from the community as well. And my mother loved me so much. She didn't produce many boys. I think I was a miraculous child. She most of the boys she produced would pass on when they are young, except one who was born at 6 months.
Wow.
And then myself. I was born full term, unlike most of my siblings who are born before me. Her life
obviously
revolved
back in
around
the day,
me.
Back in the day, they wouldn't know gender. They would get to know the gender when the child
yes,
is born.
Yes.
So you were really a good surprise.
Yeah, a very good surprise. And I'm told my father, when he was told, because he was not at home, he asked that what gender is the child?
Mm-hmm.
He said he's a boy. He said, ah, that one will not survive like the other
like the
boys.
Other ones.
So that even delayed to give me a name. The name came much later. So it was a pleasant surprise to my mother and to my father and everyone else. So maybe that explains part of the great love that I received and continue to receive.
Wow.
From
oh, wow. And I'm sorry
yeah.
about that. That must be unfortunate to lose, you know, siblings in that way and at
yeah.
that in that way. So we've talked about you growing up. And when you say the community, most people who talk like that say that I was educated in schools nearby. Is that what happened
yes,
to you?
Yes, the initial years, yes. Mm. Maybe up to around primary 4.
Okay.
And then my mother loved me so much, but at the same time, she didn't want me to get spoiled.
Mm-hmm. What a fine
and
line
so
to walk.
She
yeah.
was a very, very strict disciplinarian. So in her wisdom, she said that being a boy with a loving mother, single mother, I would say that love would spoil me. So she decided to take me to a boarding school.
Oh, throw you in the wolves and see how you survive.
Yeah, so she took me to a boarding school.
A bit far from home.
Not very far. But of course, I would only get a chance to go home during holidays. It's a school called Beranyanj Junior.
Ah.
It was one of the best schools in the region at the time. She valued education so much, she did not get a chance to study as much as I have studied and my other siblings have studied. But
she knew the value
of education, just like I do. And so she made sure that she made a lot of sacrifices. And so I learned many skills, in especially of survival and resilience.
I was about to say, was it a shock for you to leave home where you're pampered and then be thrown at boarding school?
Big time. You know, you're used to waking up maybe towards 7 and we would wake up very early, we go and fetch water and do other chores before you prepare to go to class, and basically how to take care of yourself. And so having grown up with a loving mother and many sisters, it was quite shocking.
but you adapted quickly,
it must have been a
time.
Very, very, very wise decision, because I think it has shaped my outlook to life given me ability to be resilient and to know how to take care of myself.
Because you were going
quite
at
a very independent
10,
person.
Like P5,
yes.
Imagine I went at 5 years old. So I keep telling people boarding school.
It must
will
have been tough.
You. You start complaining and realize no one is coming.
Yes.
Wow.
What I did not mention, the pre-colonial kingdom of Igara. So my family was the ruling family in that kingdom back in the day. But with the coming of colonial rule and my great-grandfather resisted, so he died in the hands of the soldiers of the colonial government. And so the fortunes of the family changed.
Of course.
So this was a family that back in the day was perceived as privileged. But by the time I was born, even in the absence of my father,
privilege was story. You were being told of past. Stories.
In fact, in childhood, I never even got to know about that history. Until when
it.
I went to the boarding school, one of the teachers, I think the one of the teachers, his parents, maybe grandparents, I'm not so sure, had been part of the royal staff.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and so he's the one who opened my eyes
and
to
said,
that.
Do you know
and
where
and
you
he
come
even
from?
Used it to tell me in class that ordinarily I should be worshipping you, but now that I'm teaching you, I must still be in two lines.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yes.
And you, have you over the years now been intrigued by that history of your family?
Very, very much. And I have done a lot of digging about it. I'm very much inspired by the courage of my great-grandfather, the father of my grandfather, he was called King Musinga, who, when the British came, having, I think, got collaboration from Ankore, part of the deal was that the British would help then Ankore Kingdom to expand and annex the neighboring kingdoms. And so for him, he refused to sign. So they bombed down his palace and arrested him. So in captivity, he chose to take his life instead of submission.
Yeah.
So when he died at a place that is very monumental in our history and our family called Kandicho, his son was forced, who was even a minor, to sign the 1901 Ankore Kingdom on behalf of the family and the kingdom, submitting. That's how now where we come from in Obushenyi became part of Ankore Kingdom, but previously it wasn't. Yeah.
Privilege is really in the past. I would have been worshipping you also, but I am forced to interview you this way. Benjamin, what's your first song choice?
My first song choice is Teach the World by Lucky Dube.
Reputation, but it takes one stupid fool to
Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island Discs. The first choice was Teach the World, the late Lucky Dube. And just before the break, we're getting to know Benjamin Katana. You actually would have been Your Royal Highness, Prince.
Had I been born in this.
had history favored you a different way, or favored yes. your lineage yes.
but,
a different way.
Even if you go to the museum, our regalia is there.
It's still there.
Yes, Choza is yeah. the regalia, is the royal drum
right.
of our kingdom.
Yeah. I mean, I assume royalty is raised a certain way, taught a certain way, to be a certain way.
Maybe.
Where did the line stop? Is it at your father? At your grandfather?
Most probably. For us, like I mentioned, we were born when privileges were in the past.
Yeah.
Were another struggling family.
No one was bothered
in
with
the poor communities.
Kings and princes.
Yeah, but you only had people like one of my paternal aunties used to tell me how much I was special.
Mm.
And she would sing for me, sing very,
you,
yes,
yeah.
and tell me about the glorious past. But as a child, it didn't make much sense.
Yeah.
Because even, you know, the best kids where they teach in a class, you will maybe not meet such details
yeah.
until I met that teacher. In
that's
the primary school,
sense.
That's when it made sense.
Right.
And
well, you've missed out on the titles, Your Royal Highness. So, Benjamin, you go to school, and now let's talk about probably when life changed, because that is still village life.
Yes.
So is it in high school? What changed? Because it was Biranyanji Junior.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. From the youngest age that I can remember, and today. Not so different
yeah.
in terms of aspirations,
in
terms of... I would say that I was one of those people that got exposed at a very young age to ideas that maybe... I used to read newspapers a lot.
I was about to say what
as a child.
Yeah.
So even as a child in primary school, I knew what Jonas Savimbi was up to in Angola.
Yeah.
I knew what Garang was up to in Sudan.
Right. Current affairs.
Yes. I was very, very informed. And
that was your own intuition, though.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone
think
around
so.
You was doing
yeah,
that.
I would think so.
Mm.
Yeah. Even as a child, among the many things I wanted to be was to be a soldier.
Ah. A what?
For many reasons.
Okay.
And that was one.
Uh-huh.
Somehow I thought that for you to be able to play any meaningful role in the dynamics, you needed to have that background, because most of the people were hearing at the time, I think that was the time of armed rebellions on the continent.
Yes.
Then the Rwanda war would follow even on radio and what have you. From the age maybe of 8 or 10, I was very aware of what was happening around. But also growing up, there were many people in my family that had participated in this NRA war and were top commanders. So I would maybe say they were part of what had inspired me to think
okay.
in that direction.
Right, right. Someone said that back in the day, there were two coveted roles of power.
Yes.
Either you were a priest or you were in the army. Those
yeah.
are the people who used to live good.
Yeah.
So, but for you, so you're, because I mean, I get reading current affairs, I get hearing about all of this, but then was your intrigue to say, I also want to be part of the power doing something about it?
Certainly.
Yeah.
And I think that for me has always been like a driving force.
Mm.
I think it partly explains why I always find myself in politics.
Mm.
Maybe I have a job or other things, and
yeah.
then I find myself
trying to be part of change.
Yes.
Right,
because,
right.
Because I always feel that I need to be part of making things happen, one, but also there are things that I find very dear. and are more ready to be among
to fight
those,
for
be,
them
to be counted right. in the fight for them.
Today, Benjamin Katana can do something about it because maybe one, he's of age, to the network and exposure, but then you were a young boy.
Yeah.
You were reading about these things and you were ready to do something yes. about it. Was it you making choices in school, what to do? What? Where did that journey and inquisitiveness take you?
Largely reading further, I became a very good literature student.
Good.
So other than that vacation of that never came to pass of wanting to be a soldier, I wanted to be
a
journalist.
Didn't you go to at all? For that induction?
I did, but as a civil servant, later on when
yeah.
I joined the public service. And then the other thing is that I wanted to be a lawyer right from...
Wow, from get-go.
Yeah, because I had read many stories and most of the people that were making things happen in the world of leadership had had a background
of law.
But two, right from childhood, I think I've always had the passion to stand up for justice.
Okay.
That even when I was young, my mother would tease me and call me pleader because was always intervening for maybe people living at home when they have problems. I would always speak up because for me, justice is one of those things I think that flow in my blood.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
good to know that.
I knew that
this is where you're going
this
to end
is the
up.
Path that I should take.
And you shot for it.
Yes.
So you went to Makerere University.
That was much later for masters. Like I mentioned earlier, my mother not having a job. Of course, she didn't qualify to have any because she had not gone to school. She lost most of the little that the husband had left her to raise the other children. So by the time I was in high school.
It was your turn. By the time it was your turn.
Things were very, very tight.
There was nothing.
Things
yeah.
were very tight. After primary, I went to Barra High School. Yeah, but then I was already using...
Weren't you the stubborn children? Barra High.
Well, there were very many stubborn children.
Okay.
But I was not.
Right.
I was the humble one.
Okay.
I never had any disciplinary record growing
really?
Up, either at home
or
at
school.
Yeah, and I was the disciplined child.
Mm.
And I think largely that's where my leadership journey started from and involvement in politics.
Mm.
I think right from senior one, I became a leader representing my class in the school council throughout my O level.
Okay.
And I became a deputy speaker of the council of the school. And of course, after senior four, I crossed over. I went to Ntare School.
Mm.
Yeah. Again, where I was a leader.
You were the good one.
And speaker of the students' council.
Brilliant.
And even a leader to the district for the students.
Wow.
So, but things were very tight and challenging. Like I mentioned, my mother had literally sold off most of the things to see me through school.
Yeah.
But there were people that were very supportive. For me, I'm largely a product of community.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you kept insisting in the beginning that
yes.
I was raised
so,
by community.
There are people that supported me. Unfortunately, they are not alive today.
Oh.
The late Professor Tiberondwa. Minister in UPC government and then later on a lecturer at the university and the late General James Kazini
who
was a maternal cousin. So school was very hard because of those
the challenge.
Financial constraints on the side of my mother. But also at different levels. And again, it emphasizes why I am interested in public affairs. There was an initiative of bursaries.
Yes.
Which I applied for, and because I had good marks, both at P7 and Senior 4, I got support from the district to go through O-level and then later on to go through A-level.
Right.
Yeah, and I believe that it's because at the time, maybe there were good leaders at the district.
Yes.
So I think that good leadership at whatever level plays a very critical role in helping society to move from one
Even
step
at that
to
stage
another.
For a child
yes.
who's in,
yes.
in that level.
Yeah.
Interesting.
When I finished A-level, I had passed well, but I did not have marks for government sponsorship. Study law at Makerere. They admitted me for private sponsorship.
Oh.
But I knew the challenges that my mother was going
through.
You're
not going to go back and send tuition.
And at that time, she had some other challenges, some expensive court battles.
Mm.
So one afternoon, I had gone to my cousin's home and I found a newspaper advert. There were scholarship opportunities at Kampala International University.
Mm.
So I picked interest, got it and applied.
Right.
that's how I get a scholarship to study law at Kampala International University. Right. And it turned out to be a great opportunity for me to network with people from across the region. Today, I can go to South Sudan and spend a week without paying money in a hotel.
Because
I can go to Kenya, can go to Rwanda, and so forth.
Yeah.
But also, it has helped me to get a lot of business opportunities from these networks. They say when a door closes, God opens
another
the window.
One, yes. This was a large
so for
window.
Me, it was a very, very great opportunity.
Yeah.
And again, when I started studying, at that time, 2006, the university was largely full of foreigners.
Yes, South Sudanese,
Kenyans.
Yeah.
There even used to be a joke calling it Kenyans in Uganda.
Yeah, that's true, there are many.
Yeah. And again, the people that I interacted with in my class and where they encouraged me to go for a leadership role. And of course, the challenge was that because the people that had been going through were largely from Kenya, because Kenya was the
majority.
And maybe in terms of the students from Kenya were a little bit more political aware and astute.
You're right.
Yeah. So I offered myself and to become a guild president, and I was supported overwhelmingly, and I won.
What's your second song choice before we get into this story?
Kankutendereza by Mesha Semakula. Yes.
Say,
Desert Island Discs on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island Discs from NUP, the National Unity Platform, the treasurer, Benjamin Katana, telling us his story. Leadership started quite early for him. I think he was determined. You were determined to be a leader somehow. So now you're at KIU.
We might call it favor.
Yeah, you have favor.
I have always had.
Wonderful. Affirm it. You were at Kenyans in Uganda.
Yes.
No, but it's Kampala International University, yes. KIU, studying law. And you said, why not go for the top position, which is the guild president? And you did, and you won.
And I won.
Yeah, so that favor was also, you were friends, I think, with lots of students.
Yeah, maybe some of them even thought I was Kenyan because they also called the name Katana.
Ah, wow.
Yeah, but I think I appealed to the students because of what I stood for at the time. So that university gave me a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
I teamed up with universities from other institutions. We formed a number of associations, and one of them really was intended to bring together students across Africa. We did a lot of voluntary work in South Sudan. That was a time when they had just signed the Comprehensive Peace Agreement in 2008. So we went there as guests of the government of South Sudan, did some voluntary work. I also offered myself to lead the Uganda National Students Association. The bid was unsuccessful.
Why?
I challenged the process. There were lots of challenges with the process.
Right.
I challenged the process in court successfully. But after winning, after winning the case, I said, no, for me, I have made my point. Let other people try.
Interesting.
From there, I went to LDC, which is a short time. And then when I had just finished school, I actually was in Ushen helping a friend and relative to organize a campaign he was running for some office.
Right.
In Ushen. So one of my classmates.
This is after LDC.
Yes. One of my classmates calls me and says, the government of Uganda has advertised the jobs. I think you come and we apply.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. So I applied. I had been doing business with one of my relatives and friends who had been working together. So really, it took the nagging of my classmate to apply because
you were comfortable.
I was a bit comfortable.
Okay. Okay.
Because most of the, I had never aspired to serve in the public service before that. But now in hindsight, I think it was,
you needed that skill.
I needed it so much.
Right.
So I got a job in the Ministry of Internal Affairs, particularly immigration.
Yeah
so I joined immigration in 2011. And while at immigration, I got a number of assignments. When I was already there,
right.
I became the spokesperson of the organization.
Yes. Which is probably a role many people remember you for.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I always see many people, especially in the political space, who want to undermine me, using that to say that I'm a soldier. I say these people should know that I would have loved to serve in the army. But
it was your dream.
It was my
dream.
They
don't know that.
So I was also a legal advisor to the Minister of Internal Affairs. I was first appointed by the late General Aronda Nyakairima, whom I worked with very closely. And then later by General J.J. Odong, because I had a short stint I had left. Then when he assumed the office, I think he was told about how I had helped the previous minister in execution of his duties. Then when we started the national ID, I was also one of the managers in the initial, the primary project,
I think.
Yeah. So after that, around 2017, I had served for about 6-7 years. And that's when the debate about the lifting of age limit started.
Before we get there, I'm intrigued to understand because, I mean, there's a lot of people who are brilliant.
Yes.
Going through university and they have their ambitions and they want to do it. But the thing about executing, the thing about doing is always very hard. Someone can say I'm a brilliant person and they're offered a role and it seems too big because you were going into internal affairs. I mean, there's a lot to do and it's not a small role or small roles.
Mm.
What is it about you, what you can say about yourself that you know just made you do, you know, not overthink it, not say I must go back, study, learn. You literally learnt on the job most of your roles.
Number one, grace of God.
Right.
Number two, basically I think for me, whenever I'm given an assignment, I do it as if my life
depends on it.
Number three is that for me, I believe that human beings can adapt. And the element of choice, that in life, what makes a difference is the choice. when you are presented with any crisis, you can make a choice to withdraw from that crisis or to take it on. And I think what makes the difference is that ability to make the choice to take it on, and the results will just follow.
And you've always made the choice to,
by the grace of God,
take it on. So you say probably things changed when that conversation or the debate around lifting of term limits started. Before we get there, your third song choice.
Where is the love?
Black Eyed Peas. Great. Beautiful choice. It's a good song.
Thank you.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama, only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate, and to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People
y'all.
Killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach? And won't you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning.
Change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering as the youth are young. So ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. Where's the love, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
Where's the truth, y'all? Come on.
I don't know.
Where's the love, y'all?
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. When you practice what you preach, and won't you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us.
World on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Yeah. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love? One world, one world.
We only got
one world, one world.
That's all we got.
One world, one world.
And something's wrong with it. Yeah. Something's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with the good world, world. Yeah. We only got
one world, one world.
That's all we got. One
world. Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
It's Desert Island Discs. Benjamin Katana is here, and his third song choice was actually a song that initially, I think Black Eyed Peas wrote this song as just what they call vibe, a hit. But it actually became a hit as and a song that united many, many, many countries in many, many times. Where is the love? So that debate starts all of us were here.
Yeah. And here I was, a civil servant.
Yeah, a civil servant.
Very
quiet.
Opinionated.
A civil servant who should be quiet, but you had an opinion. Mm-hmm.
Very opinionated.
Yeah.
And I aired out my opinion.
Uh-oh.
That I believed that
they should not.
They shouldn't, because my conviction was that, and I must state that previously, on account maybe of conscription, but also on account of, you know, the progress the country had made at the time, I had been a supporter.
I was about to say that today we might know you as a new person, but...
So before I joined the civil service, I was even not just a voter, but a supporter of the president then and the party.
NRM, yeah.
Yes. And I have a strong network among the young people of my age. And so most of us were opposed to the lifting of the age limit.
That is where you stopped.
But you see, the difference was that for me, I was a civil servant.
Yes. Like I said, you shouldn't have had an opinion.
But these guys...
Yeah.
Were politicians, so to speak, so they could easily air their views and change them the next day.
Yes.
But those who know me know that once I have made up my mind,
it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. So I took a stand. Mm. So many people were calling me to say, "Ah, you man, you're taking a risk." When my opinion got known, one of old friends I had worked with in my previous job at Internal Affairs, a contact in the security services, looked for me. And told me that his senior colleague, who knew he was my friend, had told him that he saw a report going to the highest office in the country, which mentioned that I had been involved with the opposition people doing ABC. I said, well, for me, my position on that subject is known. When it comes to politics, I never hold any private opinions, because I know in countries like ours, there is no opinion which is
it
private.
It will become public.
It will become public. So what I cannot say in public, I cannot say privately.
Yeah,
and that's what I always advise my friends. That's part of what prompted my resignation, because I knew that the longer I stayed, the more risky it became, because there were possibilities of being framed and embarrassed. By the time you even move out, your reputation that you have worked for so many years is tainted.
Because you had a comfortable job. Yeah.
That everyone
was
of
coveting.
My age then would have wanted to do. But also politics in Africa and in Uganda particularly, people know that opposing certain position comes with backlash. But maybe I didn't mention at the beginning that my third name, which I rarely use because people find difficulty in pronouncing it, is Kajiremire. Kajiremire is derived from the Nyankore proverb.
Yes.
My father, I think at the time, had some turbulent times.
Mm.
And so there's the Nyankole proverb, Ngwakare Mirengo Manko Kajata, that the effect is that, for example, life, the author is God. So it is only God who has authority over your life. And for me, that has always been my mantra. I don't think that anybody can determine the course of my life. Whether
except
you are
God.
A president, whether you are whoever, it is only God.
Who wields the power.
Who wields the power.
Right.
And so while so many people were so worried about me, I wasn't worried about myself, because from childhood I know that the direction of my life is determined by God. Whether I prosper or not is determined by God, and I believe that it is predestined. I'm not a very religious person, but deep conviction on
you
faith.
You believe it.
Yes.
Right.
So, and at that time, there was a by-election in our constituency. So with my friends, many of whom eventually retreated and went back to NRM, we sat and contemplated many things.
Right.
And one of them was that they encouraged me to go and run in that constituency. But number two, we even discussed an idea of starting a political party. And there were very many.
Mm.
Today, most of them are members of parliament. Others are leaders in other capacities in the party,
right,
in the NRM. So it was around that time that I also met with the Honorable Chagurani.
Ah.
Because he too was opposed to the lifting of age limit. So we met him with those other colleagues. There was no consensus on what we were starting or what would lead, who would lead what, but we were in agreement.
We had a common goal.
That there was
uniting
a common goal and a common interest.
Right.
So I went and campaigned. It was I was not declared the winner, but it was a very successful campaign.
Mm.
It was in about maybe 1 month. I was new in the constituency. There was a lot of money involved from my opponent. Yeah, but I learned very many lessons and I made a lot of inroads. And I was even shocked with the level of how people welcomed me and the ideas that I presented.
Right.
But it also taught me a number of things about our electoral democracy as it is today. So, but maybe we'll get a chance to discuss that. So, but to do that, I needed to resign from public service.
Of course.
Yeah, so...
Benjamin, we could tell. We knew so that you had an opinion, you resigned.
I linked up with classmates and we started a law firm, Pace Advocates.
Yeah.
Where I'm still getting for
so
the
So that's how Pace was born.
Yes.
And Pace was born because not just I needed a job.
Yes.
You were doing Pace also because it was your platform to fight for all
exactly.
the injustices.
Exactly. And largely our business is about human rights. We do some bit of commercial lawyering, but our key area of interest is human rights.
Human rights.
Yeah. But also that again brought me back into the fold of what you'd call active politics. But this time, opposition politics.
Yes. I get when you say that a lot of you were sitting together as the word, there's no other light or hard way to say it, opposition.
Mm.
You and at the time, Honorable Chagulanyi were sitting and just saying, we all don't want this thing to happen. We don't know what we're going to do, but we don't want it to happen.
Yeah.
Why did he stick out as the person you were, or is it just mentioning because you ended up, you know, working together today?
No.
Because he hadn't been in active politics.
He hadn't been
point.
In active politics, but he had also just become a member of parliament.
Yes.
One, I think our connection with the Honorable Chagulanyi, first of all, is that one of us was already in contact with him, but maybe socially and somehow politically.
Right.
Number two, he was an emerging force. And he reached out because of the polarization of the politics in our country. Sometimes there's no meeting point. The people who have been in NRM are in their world. The people who have been in the opposition in their own world. But when he came, some of us looked at him as a bridge that could connect those who have been the other side, those who have been this side,
and those who haven't
and
found
those who have
side.
Not been anywhere.
Mm.
With hindsight, I think my decision was very wise to choose him as a person that I could
align with. So have you been able to walk that line or are you still walking that line?
Well, every day there are new surprises, but very challenging. I believe that there's nobody who is comfortable. Even those that have chosen convenience, there's discomfort they suffer.
Because of choosing.
Because sometimes they have to suppress their conscience.
And opinion.
And opinion.
Which you would never
Which may
do.
Be very heavy. So, for me, the sacrifices might be in terms of opportunities.
Right.
In terms of resources. Mm. But at the end of the day, quality of life cannot only be determined by how much you have and what you are able to do in terms of maybe accumulation of wealth and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Benjamin Katana, you're still part of National Unity Platform. Years ago, when the party started or went through whatever formation that was for it to eventually become what it was, all the way to the presidential elections, I wonder if now there's been a difference. You know, when there's, it's like when you're getting married and at the wedding, before the wedding, there's a lot of excitement towards you.
Mm-hmm.
At the wedding, all eyes are on you. When the after party hits, we don't remember that there was bride and groom. And then after a few months, you're like, hey, but where, you know? So sometimes that is when character is formed, you know, when there's not so many eyes or noise about you.
Mm.
Why do I feel like Noop has gone through that, has gone through where there's a lot of polarization, a lot of energy. And so now even the effects and challenges you might be facing are the ones that we're not directly seeing or can't even be privy to. That unless you tell us here that this happened to me, this is happening to our colleagues, may not know.
Yeah.
What does that leave you as a leader or people in Noop? Does that change the perspective of what you're fighting for? Does that change how you do every day? Does that change why you're in there in the first place?
Well, I think actually now I'm more determined than I was before I got involved for many reasons. Many times I meet people and they can't believe that, for example, there are many young people who are arrested, kept for months and released without any charge.
They believe it's just a story.
But once you have lived through that, I have interacted with these people, I have struggled to get court orders to have them released. Some have been ignored. After 6 months, someone is dropped in the middle of the night. Each day, it gives me the determination and courage to make sure that my children grow up in a better country where they will not have to pay a price for holding an opinion.
Which you believe is what is happening.
Yeah. Even, you see, when like someone jokes on Twitter and people say, what kind of drone would you want?
He's going to pick you. That's true.
That environment is very toxic. And so each day...
What sounds like a joke is someone's reality.
When such things happen, It gives me more determination to work hard to make sure that our children grow up in a better country, in a country of equal opportunities, where there's fairness and justice, where even the children of the poor can have access to quality and affordable education, because that is the bridge. That's what bridges from the world of the underprivileged and the privileged, not just restricted to Uganda. I believe that as a member of the human race, I have a duty and responsibility to make a contribution in leaving the world a better place than I found it. The best place to do that is here, where I am. So I look at the National Unity Platform as that platform that gives me an opportunity to make that small contribution that I can make.
Before we got on to you, actually told me that you're a Salongo. Yeah. I actually thought you were joking. But you're not joking. No, you're actually a Salongo.
Oh, yeah.
There's a ring on your finger. How did you convince a person to be by your side? That was probably the hardest proposal and pitch. When you have to convince someone to walk life with you. Huh?
Well, I think, first of all, I'm not a bad person.
Okay. There's not much convincing that had to happen.
Yeah, but two, I believe that first of all, is the person has to be your friend. So the Nalongo in question, my very beautiful wife, Janet, not the other one that you know.
Okay. But we can see where you're heading. Anyway, yes.
Yeah, I was a friend before she became my fiancée and then my wife.
Right.
Yeah, and so we have been married for close to 10 years.
Oh.
In this month, we make 10 years in holy matrimony.
Wow.
And God has blessed us with 4 children, including a set of twins.
Wow. Are they the older or the younger?
They're the youngest.
How was that experience? I'm currently not sleeping, so I keep telling people, you want twins, but...
It's quite a job. All sentimentally named. The firstborn is named in honor of Che Guevara. One of his names
no
is
No way.
Che.
You're not that guy, Benjamin.
I am not.
So firstborn is Che Guevara.
Yes.
And the second?
The second one.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Is a girl. Is named in honor of Queen Nzinga. Queen Nzinga.
And the twins?
Fought fiercely against the Portuguese. The current day Angola and that area. She was an astute freedom fighter and a diplomat. The twins, the boy is named in honor of Oliver Tambo.
Wow.
His name is Tambo.
O.R. Tambo.
Yes. And the girl is named in honor of Empress Taitu of Ethiopia, who fought alongside the husband, Emperor Menelik, to defeat the Italians.
Your children have no choice but to read history.
Yeah. By why I name them in that way is that the memory of those that sacrificed a lot to make the world a better
Much
place, their memories should never be lost. So even if these children are not interested in knowing these people, at least they will want to know.
That's what I'm saying. You have they are paying the price for their father's interest in history.
What they have done to inspire the father to name them that way.
Yes.
Yeah. The intention is not to make them behave like them, no, but living memory.
You would not be surprised if any of them went that direction. No, yes. You know, politics and change.
Yeah.
How is life in general, you know, now that you left the comfortable, easy life and chose the life where you have an opinion?
Yeah, it's very hard.
Would you, if you had a button to reset, would you have done anything differently?
No, in hindsight, I don't think I would. Of course, the cost is very high.
Okay. Is it just on you or your family as well?
The family. Even my wife has had some of her initiatives disrupted.
Oh, dear.
On account of my involvement.
And at no point did she tell you, this is it for us.
Yes.
And, exit and let's find a small retirement.
God, over the years, has blessed me with people that are able to accommodate my views. My mother was a very conservative person, but liberal when it came, for example, things like marriage partners, liberal on matters of choices, like politics. But she was very conservative when it came to how we lived our lives generally.
Right.
I can tell you that I never had a chance as a child growing up to participate in a dance or to attend a party. She would say, you have not been invited. What business do you have at a party? But when it came to things like making a choice for a partner, she was very liberal. She would not
make your
want
own choices.
To say, you must marry from this religion or this tribe. Unfortunately, she passed on last year. God bless her soul. But when I took a decision to belong to where I belong, she understood that was my choice. So equally so, my wife, of course, has had to bear a lot of inconveniences, but also judgment. Yeah. Coming from where I come from and maybe where she comes from, there's a lot of judgment that comes with my political choices.
How could you? Mm. I understand you.
But at least she has not stood in the way
of
my choices, for which I'm very grateful. I cannot take it for granted.
No, yeah. Wow. Maybe the children haven't yet figured it out. When they do, they will let you know their opinion. What is left? I say that in a very pulled back way, because you're still a very young man. And the politics of our country, people think it started, but it is yet to start. It is yet to start. I think we've dibbled and dabbled on what change is, but someday it will come.
Yeah.
And at your age, you will probably be some of the people who will be spearheading some of those conversations. I don't know if you still believe, even with the sacrifice you've made, that politics will still be a thing for you in the future.
Well, like I mentioned, I believe that politics is a great platform. It has been abused so many times by especially people who look at it as a job. Employment opportunity.
Money making.
Personally, I've never looked at politics as a way of making a living, because I know how to make a living through other means.
And
I believe that people should get involved in public affairs to take care of public interest,
to serve,
not personal interest. Much as it has been abused, we shouldn't leave the stage for only those that want to abuse. We must wrestle it out of their hands. And those ones are always present in every political formation.
That's honest.
I believe that it's a platform through which the quality of life of people can be changed. There are so many examples in this country. For example, I could say that let me go work hard and support people to go to school. But how many can you support? And indeed, with my little means, whenever I'm able to, I do. But how many can you support? But secondly, there are so many people that are dying in their homes who cannot access quality medical care. You are not going to influence these policies if you are not involved in political discussions. Every day now in Kampala and beyond, everyone is crying about the infrastructure that has gone to dogs, the roads, the drainage channel, lack of cleanliness. Who is going to solve these questions? It must be people that have political power, because political power brings legitimacy. If Flavia stands here and says, I'm mobilizing people around this area to clean the road, they'll say, who are you? People will ask you, who are you?
You're mad.
A councillor, a local councillor.
Will
come with Mukarakasa. You know Mukarakasa, and announce and say, tomorrow on Saturday,
we are
cleaning the road. And everyone will come, because you have legitimacy.
Right.
You have convening power.
I
believe that now that unless I become a priest, the only other channel is through politics that I can be able to have convening power.
I can
be able to have legitimacy to mobilize people around something, around an idea.
I think we might have passed your opportunity to become a priest, but you still have on the other side.
Yes, but these days pastors have no age limit.
No. You can reset your life at any point. As we come to the end, I don't know what words of wisdom you might want to give us, whether it doesn't have to be about politics, just in hindsight of your life now, up from younger to now, the lessons you've learned, the things you've seen, what words of wisdom you'd leave us with.
I listened to one of the speeches of Martin Luther when and he was asking the university students that what is your life's blueprint. That when they are building a house, there's a blueprint. So
that's
the engineer will say, according to the blueprint,
this was supposed to be here.
The window, the ventilator.
Yes, and this size and
so
specific.
And not only individually, but collectively, as a nation, we need to define where we want to go.
Yeah.
Not even in terms of politics, but in terms of social services. Because many times you get shocked, you find people, they are throwing rubbish in a drainage channel. They are blocking the drainage channel. When the rain comes, it is their property to be carried away by water. So this does not even require politics, but a sense of direction as a society. My parting words would be that as a nation, as a society, we need individually and collectively to define where we want to go, and then ask ourselves that how do we get there?
Yeah.
Because as it appears now, we seem to be shooting from different angles. We may even end up shooting each other.
Or ourselves. We might define shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah. So it's very important that in politics, normally they call it national consensus. which I think largely lacks. The constitutional making process of that ended in 1995, there was an attempt to define that. But now we have remained a fragmented society in thinking, in identity, in actions.
Yeah.
In terms of identity, people look at themselves in terms of where they come from.
Yeah.
In terms of their tribal family alignment. In terms of geography, they say for us in the West, but this is one country.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to have a deliberate effort towards that development of a well-aligned thinking movement plan.
Right.
That we don't become uncoordinated and end up, you know, knocking each other instead of moving in the right direction.
Good advice. Yeah. We'll be watching one day when you're president. Please come back and have a conversation with us. What's your final song choice as we wrap?
Color of Love by Billy Ocean.
Interesting. You've had very interesting choices.
Thank you.
Good music.
Thank you.
Thank you, Benjamin Katana, for your time and for sharing your story. And that favor that you've been talking about, wherever it thrusts you, we'll be always ready to listen to the story.
Great pleasure. Mm-hmm. And thank you for hosting me.
Right. That's it for Desert Island This. As we wrap, have a good night.
If I had to paint a picture to show the world how true love can really be, I would use the brightest colors to create a vision of harmony. It would be a reality, 'cause it's only what's inside of of the rainbow turn gray whenever you're so far away. It changes like the seasons. You're the reason it happens that way. What you see, the colors of emotion reflecting what now I'd like to take a look at emotions that you hide. Tell me, what is the color of love? What do you see? Is it warm? Is it tender? When you think of me, I see the color of love. When I'm thinking of you, as a picture perfect painting of a love forever true. And though many may try to keep us apart,
Versatile and Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.